blah, 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 blah. Hello, animation. And welcome to the Frenzer Foreman Animation Forum.
Has anybody even listened to this?
I listen to it.
I mean, who are you talking to?
Well, you only
listen to it because you're here when we record it. You don't actually listen to it after we post it, do you?
Well, I knew it. But with a little bit of a... Alan?
Yeah, Joel.
Foreman.
What's up?
This is our Valentine's Day special?
I guess, if you want to call it that, sure.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
I think I'm going to eat some fucking tacos.
There you go.
Tacos.
Love tacos?
It's on a Tuesday this year, so it's Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Right? Right.
I think historically, Cupid would eat a taco before slinging an arrow.
Probably. Well, I mean, Cupid is probably Mexican now.
I think if you go by all accounts of everything that you know, he has to be Mexican by now.
Well, of course. I mean, who wants to do that job?
Do you think in Mexico they still refer to Cupid as Cupid?
It's probably El Cupido.
It probably is.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be really weird if El Chupacabra took over the job of El Cupido.
Why would that be weird?
Well, if he did, would he throw goats at people to make them fall in love with each other?
Probably.
After he sucked them off?
What?
Hmm?
Well, I'm sorry, what?
Alan, you know what happened recently?
What happened, Joel? Talk to me.
They announced the Oscars 2012 for Best Animated Short.
They did.
And do you know something about that?
No, I don't give a shit about that.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
All right, talk to me.
Friends of the show, Wendy Tilby and Amanda Forbes.
That's right.
Are up for an Oscar.
I know, I saw that.
For their film, Wild Life.
Do you think they're going to go to the Oscars?
Oh, are you kidding me? They do nothing but talk about the Oscars all the time. From the last time they went, they get so into the glamour of it. So best of luck to you, Wendy, and you, Amanda.
Yeah,
on this big night. We'll be rooting you on from where we root on all Oscars, which is, go ahead, Alan.
Sesame Street.
That's right, Sesame Street. When we last left off,
mm-hmm.
Alan, you were working on a new animated music video.
Yeah. I've been working on it for 2.5 years.
When I last spoke to you, were...
That was 2.5 years ago. Wow.
2.5 years ago, yeah. You mentioned that you were going to be making this animated music video.
That's right, Joel.
Where are you with it right now?
Well, the post-production is finished now, and by Friday, I'll be submitting to festivals.
All right. Now,
it's
Alan,
done. It's done. Big props to friend of the show, Andy London.
Yeah.
Who helped me out.
Andy London. You mean Eager to Please Andy London?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Andy London.
Yeah. The major cringe shorts that were in the festival.
They're fantastic.
Oh, my God. So good.
And they do. They do make me.
They do.
Well.
They make me laugh.
I have a high tolerance. Yeah. They make me laugh.
Yeah.
I think it should be a longer. There should be a subtitle, which is make you cringe or make you laugh.
Yeah. Well, he and I spent 14 hours the other day doing
Hanging out?
Just hanging out.
That's pretty good. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Secondly,
we were hanging out and doing post-production on the video.
Was there a drug binge?
At the end of it, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Anyway.
So, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day. What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
Well, it's kind of boring. It's the same thing I kind of do every year. I take my harem.
Yeah.
On...
You have a harem?
Hmm?
You have a harem?
Well, it's part of a harem. I have a quorum for my harem.
Sure.
Who doesn't? I take them usually on my stretch Humvee to my stretch Humvee plane.
Okay.
Whereby we just we kind of travel around the tarmac, make a big loop while drinking champagne. Get back in the stretch Humvee, drive to another airport where we all cram into a regular Humvee.
Sure.
where we drink more champagne, but stretch champagne.
Of course.
And then drive back home. We all make a fort on the stretch Humvee bed that I have.
Speaking of forts.
Yeah.
Earlier this evening, I came across a photo of us in the act of building a fort from when we were in college together.
You know, mm-hmm. Did you know that I remember that?
I'm glad you do, because I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not making it up.
Well, as everyone knows, we made this fort at RISD
mm-hmm.
to escape our debilitating degree projects.
Yep.
Maybe we'll throw that photo up on our website.
I think we should.
I also have some photos of us at graduation.
Ooh, I want to see those.
Alan and I were placed next to each other in line.
Sadly.
Because alphabetically, friends are foremen.
Yeah. No, foremen.
Or
foremen
friends
are, actually.
But friends are foremen. And we were photographed in all photos of the entire event together. Mm-hmm. And there we were doing the podcast. It was weird.
Friends
no
forever.
Microphones.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should say friends are foremen, friends forever. Remember how we said that all the time?
Anyway.
We have Alan.
Yeah, what?
We have an amazing show.
Are we
going to
do a
today.
Show today or what?
We have an amazing show today mm-hmm. for all of you lovers of El Cupido. On today's show, we have animator, sculptor,
kinetic artist,
Gina Kaminsky.
Yeah.
That Gina Kaminsky.
The one and only.
The one and only that we know.
Right.
Who was willing to be on the show.
Fair enough. Let's talk to her.
Computer, let's bring her in then. Gina freaking Kaminsky. Jane, ah! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Woo! Hi-yay! Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Now, yourself,
yes.
are an animator.
Yes, that's correct.
A kinetic sculptor S.
A sculptor S animator kinetic gish.
Okay.
Yes.
That's got to be
yes.
a long business card.
We're happy to have you on our show.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
You have made some amazing animations, which we're going to get to. But we also want to talk about your kinetic sculptures, which is another half of what you do.
Yeah. If you take the sculpture and the animation and then my time making dinner and walking the dog, it's probably more like a fifth. I don't know. Teaching, visiting my mother.
Right.
Right.
Over lifetime?
Yeah.
A fifth?
A fifth.
That's actually a lot of time.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I've been doing animation since I was 10.
Well,
and the sculpture since I was probably younger.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from, I was born in New Jersey, brought up in Ossining, New York, which is home of Sing Sing Prison.
Yeah. Mm.
Which is probably the safest place to be when they escape. That's my dad told me.
Wait, the safest place to be when they escape is in the town.
Is in the town.
Right. Because they want to flee the town.
Yeah, no, they're not going to. Right. You're not going to hang around.
Would the safest place be right outside the wall of the prison in a sleeping bag?
Probably.
Okay.
But, you know, Sing Sing used to be white-collar crime, so they'd probably go and redo my taxes or something.
Okay.
You know? So.
And it used to just be called Sing until more people came and were prisoners there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it was only one prisoner, it was just Sing.
Just Sing. Sing. It was Sing. And it was
Sing. Johann Sing, I believe, was the first prisoner. And then ironically...
T-S-I-N-G was Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironically, the next person to come in was Lucifer Sing.
Right.
Then they had two prisoners.
And we had school trips there. You know, I was brought up in the era where they take us to the prison and say, yeah, this is where you're going to end up if you're not good. So
it was a
good field trip.
Were you a good kid?
I was good, except in Hebrew school. That's where I misbehaved. Mm. You know, that's very common.
Is that also where you first found your love for sculpture and animation?
That was definitely from, I would say, a lot of it's from my dad, who's a scientist, and being exposed to a lot of art. And we did a lot of what I would, you know, it's called now hacking. I mean, he was an inventor, and we'd build stuff in the basement and take things apart. And so there's kind of a natural inclination in my family towards inventing and maybe misbehaving in Hebrew school. I'm not sure.
So Wait, Alan has a question. Yeah. Go ahead, Alan.
I was just going to ask what kind of scientist your father was or is.
He invented the flow cytometer, which is a machine for analyzing blood. Oh. And so it's that kind of stuff, biology and engineering. And he was also involved in very early optical character recognition stuff.
Oh, wow. So you were a tinkerer at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
When did you become serious about both sculpture and animation?
I kind of took the path to art school, and I had animation that I was doing in high school. And that was, stop motion. And again, this was with an old Bell & Howell 8mm.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even Super 8. It was 8mm with a little wind-up and a clicker. And I minored in animation, and I also studied industrial design.
Where was this?
This was at Philadelphia College of Art, which is now UArts.
Now UArts.
Yeah, UArts. My first job out of school, my only job was at Fisher-Price Toys. So I was, and from that, I worked in the toy industry for about 15 years as an independent toy and game inventor. And a lot of that kind of seeped into my sculpture work and my animation work.
Anything from Fisher-Price that I might know of that you invented?
Yeah. Well, the one toy I'm known for is a game called Chicken Limbo.
Chicken Limbo.
And I invented that, sold it to Milton Bradley years ago. So,
does that now have anniversary edition?
Well, this is a sad story. They came out with it again, and they, because there's so much competition in the marketplace, they engineered it badly. The chicken fell down and broke a kid's tooth, and they recalled it. So I saw my royalty stream diminish. And then they released it again as Giraffalaffa Limbo, and it just never took off. So,
are you mad because that kid was just probably stupid?
Well, no, I'm actually, I'm mad at the engineers. Okay. But, that happens. It had a good run. I was off to different things. I left the industry in around 98, 99 and started doing mostly animation and a little bit of teaching at Mass Art and my sculpture work. So,
and currently you are teaching at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design.
Yes, right next door to where we are.
Yes. What do you teach there?
I teach studio foundations currently. I've been a little bit in the animation department, which is a great department too. And so the course I teach in the spring is called Time, and it's all about time-based media, including animation.
So, and herbs?
Herbs? You mean smokable herbs?
God.
Alan,
am I fired?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a class on rosemary? Alan, I'm fired.
All right, okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Is that has to be edited out?
We don't edit anything.
What do you mean, herbs?
Nothing. Time. But let's talk about your films.
Oh, okay.
And then let's go to after that to your kinetic sculptures.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's go to the films. Here we go.
You made a film back in 2006, Einstein's Riddle.
Oh, God, you remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this film, great film, was done in Flash?
That's correct. I kind of, I was working in Flash on a Wacom Cintiq, so the whole film was pretty much digitally produced. But very, I think I had a lot of, at the time, I was very much into UPC animation.
Mm-hmm.
And So I was kind of working through that love as far as, traditional character design and animation. And the idea was it was based on a riddle, it's like one of those logic problems.
Mm-hmm.
But really it was more about people's kind of sexual perversions.
Mm-hmm.
And nudity and polygamy and sleeping with animals, bestiality. And I had fun with it, but I did a number of films like this, but it just never seemed to sit right with me, that mm-hmm. working that way, especially, the traditional narrative process of storyboarding and character design and da-da-da-da. So anyhow, that was Einstein's Riddle. And
then, big shift.
Yeah, big shift. I trashed everything, which It happened actually as a result of working with New England Animators Group, mm-hmm. which you're involved with.
That's right.
I've heard and of this group. I don't approve.
Alan loves everything to do with New England Animation.
It's right? that, and also actually spending time with Flip Johnson at the in the animation department, and seeing a lot of experimental work. And I ordered some 35mm. I was going to do a kinetic sculpture. I had this crazy idea of doing a kinetic sculpture where I would paint and draw on film, and the film would run through an installation, mm-hmm. and you'd crank a crank, and it would show up on a one of those, what do you call it? Moviola.
Kinetoscope.
Yeah, it was a Moviola that I was going to... And the whole thing was a disaster. It didn't work. It just was too much. The film was breaking. But I had ordered this stuff on eBay, all these film trailers. And I went, wow, this is so cool. I love the freedom of just... I was bleaching off the emulsion and drawing and painting on film. And the registration was all screwed up and moving and crazy and frantic. And I just fell in love with the process. And it was so different and intuitive. And I suddenly went, oh, this is what I want to do.
So breaking away from Cintiq.
Right.
In the digital world.
I put it in a closet.
Really?
Yeah. I'm actually thinking of selling it. If anyone...
So sad.
Well, you know, it's a good tool, but I think... Tools have their own agency. I mean, when you work with software, when you work with digital processes, there's a whole series of technicians that are pushing what you're doing in different directions. And you have to fight hard to get beyond that. Yeah. Working directly by drawing a painting on film really brings you – it's like playing an acoustic instrument. Mm-hmm. Your hands touching the string, it's making a sound. Mm-hmm. And the agency, you know, you're much closer. You know, as opposed to playing a synthesizer where you're hitting a key, which is producing a sound, which was designed by a technologist, da-da-da-da. You know,
I find the same thing with my cactus chia.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
That when I go onto my computer and do my digital small sprout growth hobby, not the same. Mm-hmm. Not the same. Mm-hmm. I can't rub my face in it the same way. And I do rub my face on the screen most days just... as like a wake up.
If only I could actually get you to rub your face on a cactus.
Well, that's the thread that runs through everything.
Yes. You know? Yes.
It's the cactus that you...
Tactile.
That you sit on.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the thorns in your butt.
Yeah, thorns in the butt.
And that's what I like to do.
You like to get thorns in your butt.
I love to get thorns
in
your butt.
All right. Yeah.
Finally, someone's saying it.
Someone's brave
real.
Enough to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Along with spankings.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Especially post-cactus in butt spank.
Yeah.
Drives the thorns in deeper.
You know, it's making me feel
man
really good right now just thinking about it.
So,
we have to put a parental advisory on this.
Yeah, thing. I know. It's okay. If I go out on the street, I need a parental advisory.
We're animators. Sadomasochism is part of the process.
Oh, of course.
Because you have to wake yourself up.
Of course.
That's right.
So, House Bunny came out of this. Mm-hmm. Great film, which we're going to put up on our site.
Okay.
Did really well in festivals. Still in festivals?
Still. Actually, I'm trying to think the last one. It's made its rounds.
It was at the Ottawa International Animation Festival 2010.
It was at Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. which I was really proud about, you know. And it's... Those were my two favorites. I always wanted to have a film and Boston Underground Film Festival, which is a very cool.
Yeah.
And Hobo, it played with near Hobo with a Shotgun with Rutger Hauer.
Oh, yeah.
How cool is that?
Wow. Was he there?
Oh, God, no, I wish.
Oh.
So that then bled into a new incarnation.
Yes.
Which is your new film. The title, I remember, don't help me. I'm not going to even look at my notes.
Okay.
It is Secret B, your film, Secret B.
Yes.
Edit point.
As in B-E-E.
B-E-E, as in the animal, the
yeah,
insect
mostly,
that buzzes.
Although it could be Secret B, also the B.
Or
the letter B.
The letter B, mm-hmm. yeah.
And
B. Arthur. What,
ooh.
Yeah.
Beatrix Potter.
Right.
BB's.
Newirth.
Right? Oh, BB Newirth. It seems to me that Secret B is a follow-up to House Bunny.
Yes.
Are you going through every phylum of the animal kingdom and picking a character from each and then making this tactile handmade film?
Actually, that's interesting. I haven't thought of that. What do you want me to tell you how this works?
Yes.
There's three components.
Okay.
Okay. First thing I do is I choose a trailer. And if you go to eBay and you, it's amazing. There are so many 35 millimeter trailers and they're, I mean, I bought a box of like 20 of them for like, I mean, they're about $1 a piece. Mm-hmm. So House Bunny used the trailer for the film House Bunny, which is a film, it's a B movie about a Playboy bunny that gets kicked out of the Playboy mansion. I forget the actress.
It's the girl from the Scary Movies.
Right, right, right.
Alan, what's her name?
Oh, she's actually very funny.
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
Yeah.
And you can see little bits and pictures of pieces of her. So I use the title.
She was not good on SNL.
No.
When she was on recently.
I didn't catch that, but she's a Playboy bunny that gets kicked out of the mansion and she joins a really geeky fraternity and makes them anyhow. So I use that footage, I appropriate the title, and then I find a piece of music. And the music has to be someone, obviously something I really like, but it also has to be a Creative Commons, not only free and clear copyright, but I work as a collaboration. I found this piece of music by this guy, he names his group the Tape Beatles.
The Tape Beatles.
His name is Lloyd Dunn. And he had this piece of music that was cut and paste. He had taken this stereo demo record and mashed it up and created this new piece of music. So again, there's that philosophy of appropriations. I take that piece of music, I score it out. I use Flash for that. I put it in and I kind of mark all of the, all the little accents. And I was
like a McLaren might have done,
yes,
but in Flash.
Yes, exactly. I take a piece of graph paper and I notate all of that. And then I start working on the film. And I have a number, frame number 732 is a drum beat. And, I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So Secret Bee is the same thing. Secret Life of Bees. And the music is by this guy, Dave Phillips, who took music from Spike Jones,
mm-hmm,
a song called The Fuhrer's Face, and remixed it into this incredible
amazing
thing. Yeah.
Yes. In fact, I was going to bring this up. Let's just play a clip of it right now.
All right.
That sounds like an exquisitely beautiful car crash.
Yes. I mean, I heard this and I was... And Dave Phillips is amazing. He's a noise and sound artist. He lives in Switzerland. He's Swiss-based. And he also has a website. And he shows... The other thing is he's showing the film, I think, when he tours sometimes.
It's an amazing film. That particular film feels to me a lot like your kinetic sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
Almost an animated version, abstracted, of your sculptures. Can you talk a bit about your sculptures?
Sure. And I think the thread... Sorry.
Yeah.
The thread between the two is this intuitive process. It's, it's funny because we were talking about that with, your projects and this idea of something that seems so damn obvious after struggling with it for years and years and years. So they're both about movement. They're both about rhythm and tempo. And they're completely intuitive. The way the kinetic sculptures work, I generally start by creating a metal frame. I use found objects. And I think of a mechanism, maybe a Geneva or a... I have the books and books of old mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
So I start by building this, and I look at it and say, oh, this is interesting. Okay, how am I going to make things move using that? And the piece grows very similarly to, you know, working on a painting. You work on it, you look at it, you add something, you take something away. And at the end, I've got this piece. I don't know where it came from. And it's something I do very well. This is something I've been doing my entire life.
They're kind of like Rube Goldberg meets Miro meets Calder automatons.
Right. Yeah, yeah, very much.
Yeah. A lot of mechanical elements, sound elements at the mm-hmm. same time, and you're also selling them.
Yeah.
Off your site, like a digital gallery. Not like a digital gallery, it's a digital gallery.
Yeah. It's I've sold them off the site. I also have a gallery in Provincetown, Schoolhouse, and a gallery in Northampton. And William Blazek is a guy who sells my work out there. Wow. So, you know, I love selling work off the site. And occasionally I get some surprise call from someone who wants a piece or a commission, and that's really great.
So you are a professional artist.
Just about.
Yeah.
It's taken me, I figure by the time I die, I'll be making a living wage, finally.
Okay.
And not living off of
the irony.
Rice Krispies. But but no, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm totally unemployable any other otherwise. So.
The variety is really amazing, audience listening to this, animators.
Yeah.
Definitely check this out, because I was thoroughly impressed. You have different categories. You have small ones.
Yeah, I have small. I did small pieces that wound up. Then I got into this whole thing where I was making banks that delivered pennies.
Uh-huh.
I made some pieces that were pencil dispensers. Then I started making wall pieces, and I think there was a big breakthrough a couple of years ago where I started making these very large frames, and I started making the work hand cranked because I really wanted the people using the work to do some work, to mm-hmm. input. And that's also very important to me, this idea of work and participation in the piece and engagement and interaction. You know, and I think that there's, again, there are threads that go back and forth between the animation. It's also a process. My hands get really kind of burned and chapped from all the metalwork. Then my eyes start hurting from the animation because I'm working really close to the film. Gloves and goggles. So I go back and forth because I think physically I can't do one full, you know, all the time. I have to go start on a film. Then I get tired of doing the film and I go back down to the shop.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Fisher Price come back to you mm-hmm. with this idea, with this commission, to build a adult Jumanji-esque, Zathura-esque, kinetic automaton games
mm-hmm.
for adults that would sell for millions of dollars.
Well, you remember Mousetrap?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a group of people, I saw them at the Maker Faire, and they make, it's a giant life-size mousetrap game with like a bowling ball. Yeah, it's very cool. And you can find videos of it on the web.
Do you know of the game Fireball Island?
Yes, of course. I have one.
I would love to see you make a full-scale Fireball Island.
That's the one with the tiger, right?
No, it's the it's the one with fireballs.
Oh, okay.
You push them down.
Oh, okay.
You push them down little
chutes,
and they knock over people.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's like the ball, the giant ball from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, okay.
Times 12.
That's it. I come from the generation we had, back when toys were really dangerous, like I think, I'm trying to remember, we had this thing called the Air Blaster. And kids were putting it up. You'd put it up to like your sister's ear and pull the trigger, and it would blow out her hearing.
Blow out her eardrum.
It was I think Whammo made it.
Mm.
You know,
back in Nebraska, we played Kick the Glass.
Yeah.
We didn't have cans and
or feet.
Yeah.
Or feet.
I mean, you had Easy Bake Oven, which like plugged into the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had a hot light bulb.
Yeah.
You would like burn your hand on it.
Yes. The good old days.
The good old days.
They're gone.
Yeah.
That. Can't get that on an iPad.
You know, for fun, like we had yo-yos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no iPads.
Yeah. You know? In Nebraska, we looked at the hoop and stick, but we couldn't afford the hoop. Yeah.
Do you remember the show Winky Dink?
Yeah.
Interactive television. You put a clear plastic Mylar screen on your television, and the show would go on, and Winky Dink would have to bicycle across a bridge, and you would draw on your TV, and then he would bicycle across. And I mean, how many kids? We were drawing with crayons on our television set without the Mylar screen.
Well, you know, I want to bring that back. I was just thinking.
On TVs.
Yeah, well, on a cathode ray tube TV, you could take the dry erase markers now and draw on it.
That's right. True.
Kids would have so much fun, but iPads.
Yeah.
Gina Kamensky, where can people go to find your work online?
They can go to ginakamensky.com.
Ah,
which is the catch-all website for everything. There's a blog, there's music, there's stuff. You it's all there.
It truly is a lot of fun to click through your website because
Thanks.
You have little quick times of all of the machines to see how they work, and it's great, and I want to buy all of them.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show. Any final questions for Alan?
Alan?
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Let me think. Oh, okay. What do you think of Joel's sport coat?
His sport coat?
Yeah, the one that he was in his film.
The beatboxing
one?
The
beatbox sport coat.
It's probably the best piece of clothing that he's ever worn or ever will wear.
It's amazing. And you've told the story of it, right?
I worked on my prom.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's awesome. I mean, and it's a great film.
Thank you.
Yeah, when is that going to come back, Joel?
Yeah.
The next hell? Beatbox Bastard?
Yeah.
It's
been
already
10 years.
Already in production.
Yeah. And The Kid Under the Table with the Tiger. Oh,
thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
No one who comes on the podcast, first of all, ever knows of my work. And no one ever even talks about it, mainly Alan.
But it's because I don't like you or your
work. That's
right.
That's
right. Oh, Alan, and I've seen your work, right?
I hope not.
And as you heard from our intro, Alan has a new film he's about to plop.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
It's about to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you wrote the intro music also?
Yes.
It reminds me of Lost Straitjackets. I used to play in a surf band. So I have a very soft spot in my heart for the Ventures and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Alan, your intro music is the audio equivalent to how I feel when I wear my Beatbox Bastard jacket.
Wow, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Gina, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Come back anytime. Computer, we'll see you out. And thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, there they go. That was fun.
You know, I really do wish you wore that coat more.
Well, it is pretty comfy.
I think you should wear it all the time. And if people listening out there have not seen this coat,
yeah,
I think what we should do is post on the website.
We should
either
a photo of
you in the coat or a link to that video that you made.
You know, I will do that. And here's a challenge for somebody out there, somebody to see how much people listen if they get to the actual end of the show.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pick a place. I'll wear the coat in that location.
Okay. Anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world.
All right. That's quite
anywhere
a
in
challenge.
The world. I will beatbox Bastard in the coat in that location.
All right. It's on.
Did you know that when I was little, I also had wallpaper that matched that coat exactly in my room?
I did not know that, and that's terrifying.
I had a jungle-themed bedroom.
Wow.
Complete, Alan, with beaded zebra tails.
No.
Actual.
Now you're just making things up.
I'm not making it up.
Now you're just making it up.
You know what? You know what I'm going to do?
You're going to post a photo from your childhood?
I'm going to post a photo of me wearing the Beatbox Bastard jacket.
Okay.
Holding the beaded zebra tails like pom-poms.
Okay.
In any location in the world that one of you from animation out there suggests for me. The best one we'll pick, and I'll just go do that.
Okay.
Go to @FriendsReformin on Twitter and suggest a place for me to do such a thing. And I'm here to serve you guys.
That's true, he is.
I'll do it. I would just love to thank the great Gabriel Solomon
for
being our sound engineer for this episode.
Yeah.
Episode 30, Alan. Episode 30.
I know, we're falling behind. We got to get pick up the pace here.
That's almost as old as I was 5 years ago. Go eat some chocolates, sniff some roses.
Enjoy your Valentine's.
Then give the leftovers to your Valentine's.
Well, I think the big thing is that people should get ready and gear up for President's Day.
Gear up for President's Day.
Yeah.
And just remember, everyone out there in animation, if no one else loves you, Alan and I do.
Okay.
And we'll see you next time.
All right. See you next time. We love you.
We love you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Is that your mother again, Alan?
Done.
Okay.
No, it's...
Is that your cat?
It's my cat calling.
God.
Oh, all right.
Weird meow.
Yeah.
Wow. Me wow.